Accession number 13360, Major D. Tomlinson, Reel 3.
Major D. Tomlinson, Reel 3. What date did you go to Dorset, Major?
When did you say that?
About July, would it be, 1940?
Yes, yeah. Early July. Yeah, that's right, yes. July 1940.
What was the battalion doing there?
Well, we took over defence of the coastline, and to the extent of digging slit trenches in the beach. There was shingle, not sand, shingle beach, and it was a very hard job. They had taking all the shingle out, you know, digging the trench and then putting the shingle back to fill it up, you know, except for the hole that you'd left. But, and the trenches, of course, were occupied 24 hours a day. There was a sort of stand too. And panic stations there.
What time did stand to begin?
Oh, it would have been. Oh, I can't remember.
Early morning.
But there were people. They were occupied, and they slipped in the trenches. But there was a rota of guard duties in the trenches, you know. And stand to the normal sort of time of dusk and twilight. As far as I can remember, that is.
But was there a real fear of invasion?
Well, this is what we had been led to believe. There was a lot of, as always, a lot of talk going about of the real possibility of invasion, and coupled with the thought that the coastline was very deep, and the submarines could actually draw in to the coastline, and people could get off onto dry land because it was so deep there. But this was, nothing ever happened, of course. And then the Battle of Britain was on in seriousness, and of course it was all taking part in place in the air.
Did you see much of air activity?
Well, quite a bit. Yes, quite a bit of our airmen, and of course, one or two of them got their planes got shot down, but they seemed to be able to get out of them all right, and they had a system of communication where they were able to connect with base, and even though they'd lost their plane, and go back to join colleagues in another plane. It was, you know, rather hectic. But it didn't last very long. Of course, I don't, you know, you probably remember that.
What was the morale of the battalion this time? Were they in good heart?
We're the contingent of Scots were getting used to the idea. They joined well with the Durham boys, as you probably on record. In fact, the whole of my intelligence section were Scots.
You were still a platoon officer at this point.
Oh yes, that's right. I'm confusing.
What are the duties of a platoon officer?
That's a dirty question. Looking after your men, that's all, really. We were entrenched at that time. I can't remember how long we were entrenched, but there was a sort of stand down. I don't remember what day that was.
Did you have any invasion scares where you actually had to stand to for a considerable period of time?
Only the once, as far as I remember, and only the once. And then that is when we left that area of Dorset, and it took up positions, or we started training then for going abroad.
On that one occasion, what did it entail? Were you in battle conditions or prepared conditions for some period of time?
What, in Dorset?
On the alert, when you had the alert.
Oh, well, yes, they were still in their trenches, you see. The men, they slept in trenches. Yeah.
Were the officers in trenches? Were they sleeping there?
Yes. Well, yes, there was an officer, the platoon commander. No, he died. Bill Proud was my company commander in those days.
And this was A Company, I believe.
This was A Company, yes. Yes, it was at that time. You know that Dorset coast, yeah?
Chesil Beach.
Chesil Beach, that's right.
How did the men settle into what must have been rather rough conditions?
Oh, yes. Well, it was indeed. As I say, they were always in their slit trenches at that time. Sleeping, eating. I was the only officer that was allowed out, as I told you, because a Coca-Cola wagon used to come and collect me as a highly privileged person and take me off to hold my home guard sessions with the sergeant. And I don't remember how often that was.
You were involved then in training the local Home Guard?
Yes. Well, at that time it was only just being started, you see. Everybody was sort of new. It was a new invention as such, was the Home Guard, wasn't it? History does relate who started the Home Guard. Who was it? Remember? But, there was somebody, high officer responsible, high person responsible for inaugurating the Home Guard.
Were they very enthusiastic, these local people?
Oh, yes, they were indeed, yes. They were mostly farmers and farm labourers, you know, for that part of the country, in Dorset. Oh, yes, they were very keen.
What was the situation regarding your equipment? You'd lost a lot in France, of course.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Had you a range of weapons at this stage?
No, only rifles. Only rifles. The Home Guards, they were allowed to have, in the initial stages, any firearms that they had on the farm, you know.
Were they trained?
Yeah. Sorry?
Were they trained in the same drill pattern as the army itself?
Yes. Yes, it was an effort to get some sort of discipline into the chaps, you know. But it's also a bit vague, I think. One shouldn't guess too much at this.
What was the situation regarding the battalions? Equipment and weapons.
Well, they
was there plenty of ammunition?
They had Sten guns, were they?
Was there plenty of ammunition available?
No, very limited. Very, very limited indeed. Nobody.
Machine.
About 10 rounds a man, I think.
Machine guns, were they available?
Yes. There were, yes, dummy wooden guns or something that was made to look like guns. And I remember quite clearly in the section that the company was occupying, that some theatrical people came down and made a dummy setup for us of wooden machine guns, cannon, and a lot of camouflage was used. This was carried out by artists. Where they came from. Somehow or other the War Office got hold of them or something. But it was sort of official duty, job for them, was to camouflage us. But as soon as the scare was over, we upstate then, we went, started back to training for the second front, you know.
How did the local people take to you? Did you get much opportunity to contact with them?
Well, you didn't really, because this was country. Real country, and the Chisel Beach is just shingle, and so nobody lives there. It's not until you get to Bridport, which you sort of find any life. And on the other side, you've got, what, Weymouth.
So there wasn't much opportunity for leisure and relaxation?
No, none at all. No.
Did you have an officer's mess set up?
No. Oh, well, I say no. There was the company commander, three second in command, and three subalterns. And we were in. We had to mess, yes, we did, of course.
What happened next, Major?
Well, the division moved down to Devon in a training role. And the 6th Battalion you got the names of these? I've forgotten the names of this place. The battalion was based around Plumpton. And
what training were you doing? What kind of training was it that you were going through?
Field training, see. In the moors in Devon. Difficult to me to remember. But we were based around Plumpton. That's right.
Was the battalion mobilized? In a mobilized role, a mobilized unit?
Well, yeah. Yes, the division was mobilized, but in a limited way, only part at a time, if you know what I mean. But we lived, of course, in company groups. And so we were at Clumpton.
Did you have any visits from families, relatives at all?
No. Wives were never quite knew how whether they were officially permitted or not. But you know what happens, and people do these things without permission until they stopped. But
so you had wives with you for part of the time?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Did your wife come down?
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. Now, there again.
Where were your wives living when they were close to you?
They were billeted in a private house. Actually, they were the bank manager's family, and he had a big enough accommodation to take there are two wives under the same roof. We lived there, and we had to walk into the hotel, which was a few hundred yards away, for meals and food. But
so you see your wives quite often at the end of duties and so forth.
Yes, indeed. Yes, yes.
Were men's wives there, do you know?
No. There weren't a lot of married officers, you see. There wasn't a lot of people. In fact, this was one, two. There were only three married people out of the six company officers. Yeah. That was sort of, there weren't many.
Had there been any changes made in command of the battalion at this time?
Yes. Of course, we were all split up. The battalion headquarters, can't right remember where it was, but it was a long way away from where we were. We were company headquarters. I don't remember going to the battalion headquarters at all.
And Colonel Yates was still in command.
Colonel Yates, yes, he was. That's right.
Was the training particularly tough and arduous?
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
Did you spend Did you spend Christmas in Devon?
We had Christmas there, and there was a false alarm amongst the battalion that we were moving, but it wasn't to be at this time. But we did know that we were going to go abroad, and it was started out by officers being issued with some tropical gear. And I remember the tailors coming down to measure officers up. And we were only in company groups, so they went used to go to sort of company at a time and measure them up for tropical gear.
Was all your uniforms found by the army, or did you have to pay for elements of them?
The officers are by your own. At that time, it was service dress, battle dress, of course. You had to buy that too, officers did, as far as I remember.
Did you have a more settled routine in Devon as against Dorset, and you had an officer's mess that was functioning in all its...
There was only the five of us. Company commander, second in command, and three platoon commanders. And normally one of those was on duty. So that was your maximum. And that was in the hotel, the Clumpton Hotel.
The officers that you were with in your own company, did you get on well with them?
Oh, yes. Well, yes. Mike Ferrans and Bill Proud were Durham born and bred. The others were Theo Redway was a Devonian. John Jackson and I were Londoners. And that was it. That was just the company.
Established in the regiment, were you taking part in putting forward the history and the regiment to the men so that they got this kind of esprit de corps?
No, that wasn't thought of in those times. They were split up too much. And we spent most of our lives split up. We only were a unit, a battalion unit. Well, when we came back to England, before we went to France, you know?
You were going abroad, and you say you were issued with tropical kit. How did you feel yourself personally about going abroad?
Well, young people like we were at that time, it was all very exciting. And I didn't sort of had the nagging thought of leaving the wives behind, really. It was the main thing that occupied our mind, you know. But, of course, as you understand, when you're part of big units like that, well, you play that game, don't you? You're not an individual anymore, you're part of the whole.
Did the thought that you would be going into an action situation, did that concern you at all?
Oh, yes. We knew why we were going there, because the Desert War had been going for some time. Before Germans arrived on the scene, and we arrived on the scene, it was the Italians who were the enemy.
Did you get the impression that the men were equally excited about going abroad? Did you have any problems?
Yes, they were. They were. They made the friends in company groups, like the officers. You know, that is true. That while we had to get to know our fellow officers, so the men had to get to know their fellow ranks. A lot of them, as you know, were influx of Scots, Scottish-born, but they got on very well together, and that continued right through the war. They integrated the DLI and the Scots integrated extremely well. But once the initial aggro was got rid of, they've knuckled down and acted as one very well indeed.
When did you leave to go abroad?
The officers who were looked after in luxury, as in peacetime conditions. Like being on a cruise. Wasn't so for the other ranks. I can't remember seeing much of the other ranks. They were under control of the senior NCOs, you know. Or I do remember that every day there was a certain deck space allocated for parts of the troops to do exercises, try and keep them mobile, you know. But the conditions were fairly crowded. But from the officer's point of view, it was rather like a luxury cruise of being well looked after and fed with the same menu of cruising. Duchess of Richmond, we sailed in.
Where did you leave from?
Uruk.
And what
date? A lot of the ships were all moored down the Clyde, you know. Well, you see them now.
What date was this?
May or June, and